Education was very important to the founding fathers. They even wrote up the Northwest Ordinance and passed it in 1789. And there's a section in there about education. It reads, quote, "Religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary for good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged." Religion, which in those days basically meant Christianity of one denomination or another in schools, wow, maybe back then, but not now. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But in most of our schools, God is not welcome, and the education standards continue to plummet, or so it would seem. Author Tim Gagline, Vice President of Focus on the Family, wrote a piece recently to which we'll link. It's called Another Year, Another Depressing Report on the State of American Education. Tim Gagline is the co-author of a new book called American Restoration, How Faith, Family, and Personal Sacrifice Can Heal Our Nation. Boy, and if America needs a restoration, which it certainly does, educational restoration has got to be a major, major factor in that. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Tim, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Jerry, it's great to be with you.
Sure. Okay, so another year has come and gone, and America's educational death spiral continues. A comment on this article that you've written.
Well, the most recent numbers put out by the National Assessment of Educational Progress, I think it's fair to say, even for an eternal optimist like me, are rather depressing when it comes to the present state of American education, Jerry. And frankly, the future of our incredible country, because this report, which is based on test results from 2024, shows a 4% drop just since 2019, which, by the way, that's the last time the assessment was taken. This massive drop in science scores for eighth grade students and a 3% decline for high school seniors in both math and reading. And Jerry, even more alarming, less than one-third of eighth graders scored at or above the proficiency levels in science. And more than a third, I'll say that again, more than a third scored below even the most basic knowledge mark. So the declines were even more pronounced for lower performing students. You know, Jerry, I could go on and on with statistics, but the bottom line is what you began our interview by saying, that our educational system, despite the billions of dollars spent each year, it's beyond broken. And the future of our children and our nation is dire unless we take drastic steps to fix it.
And, you know, it's interesting, we're not even talking about the teaching of American history. And yet, to me, that's obviously, and you too, I'm sure, very, very critical, because here we are celebrating America at 250. And a lot of kids today have no idea what made America what it was. And many of them don't even think it ever was good.
Oh, absolutely. Well said. And in fact, it's very interesting that you would make that point, Jerry, in light of the executive director of the organization that did this study, Leslie Muldoon, because Leslie says, and I'm quoting, "This means these students are taking their next steps in life with fewer skills and less knowledge in core academics than their predecessors a decade ago." And what's important, Jerry, is that this is happening at a time when rapid achievements in technology society, frankly, demand more of future workers and citizens, not less. So the trajectory going forward is that we need our students better prepared in math, in science, in reading, in civics than they ever have been before, because the competition and the technology are acute.
Do they even teach civics today?
You know, I'm glad you said that, because in my third book, Toward a More Perfect Union, The Moral and Cultural Case for Teaching the Great American Story, I went back to oceans of data. I looked at data from all 50 states. And what I found is that there is a smaller and smaller percentage of primary, secondary, and even higher education places, colleges, universities, basic high schools, basic middle schools, basic grammar or elementary schools, fewer and fewer who are teaching a really achievable, understandable, basic timeline of American history. And in fact, the Intercollegiate Studies Institute did a massive study about what our children know or don't know. I'll say again, I'm an inveterate optimist, but looking at the 50 stat data, I was truly astonished that only about a third of American young people know the most basic American timeline of the American Revolution, the founding period, the Civil War, the First American War, World War I, World War II, the Depression between those, the Cold War, etc. I mean, these are basic time periods, basic chronology in the basic understanding of our constitutional republic. And yet 68% of Americans and 60% of parents believe that kindergarten through 12th grade education is entirely on the wrong track. And I think that that assessment is correct. And these parents are demanding options beyond their local public schools that will provide their children with a better education and a more hopeful future. And yet the schools are lagging behind what the parents are demanding.
How do we fix this thing? I mean, it's so important, and we have been complaining about this for years. I mean, and as you said, these trends just continue. How do we turn this around?
Well, I'll tell you, I believe firmly not only that we have the capacity to turn these numbers around, but I believe we will do so. I believe our best days are ahead of us. And the first thing we need to do is by returning to the original intent of education is to internalize that to teach young minds to think, read, write, reason, imagine, argue, that they have to do it with excellence. It's otherwise known as a national commitment, recommitment to critical thinking. We need to empower young people to reach their fullest potential rather than just trying to get through a school day, to get a piece of paper. And I think if we want to get beyond this continual drift, far beyond the original intent of American education, we have to go back as a nation and say, we are formally recommitting ourselves to critical thinking, reading, writing, arithmetic, science, and basic civics. And if we make that national commitment, and of course, education is a local activity. It's not the job of Washington, D.C. to impose on our nation the idea of American education. Our founding fathers and mothers rightfully said that education is local. It begins at the local level, the regional level, the state level. And I think we have to have a fuller understanding and commitment to this first precept. I think it's critically important.
It's interesting. My dad grew up very poor on a farm in Minnesota and had to go to a one-room schoolhouse, but I should say got to go to a one-room schoolhouse. And the education that he got there and the other students was stellar compared to what, a child would get today. I think, it's like, wow, what is going on? Now, he was taught in the 20s and 30s.
Yes. I can't wait to assert something. And it's not always true, but it's almost always true, which is, Jerry, that I actually think that there is a greater issue than just a broken education system. And that is the issue of broken homes. Many of the lower performing students come from fragmented homes, sometimes, Jerry, with little or no relationship with either a father or a mother. And the children suffer as a result. And so I believe that we have to have national principles in the way that I've outlined them. But I think there's something important that comes before that kind of educational goal setting, as important as it is. And that is parental involvement and encouragement. You know, as numerous studies, by the way, have shown that parental involvement and encouragement from the youngest of grades are key to academic success. And I'll say it another way, maybe from the mountaintop, if I may, that the most important teacher is often a parent. And when a parent is missing, so is a key part of a child's educational and social development.
You know, maybe this is why the statistics on homeschooling, you know, usually the homeschool students are about a grade or two ahead, you know, of their counterparts in the public schools. So in other words, this is really an amazing thing, a year ahead in their grades and so forth. But maybe that's just because the parents are involved directly, usually in these homeschool contexts.
But overwhelmingly. In fact, I think that every single study, and by the way, this is a big statement, that every single study that I am aware of always proves, demonstrates, confirms, underscores the direct involvement and importance that parental involvement is to student achievement over time. And so I think if we're going to have a conversation, and this has been a great one, if we're going to have a conversation about reversing these depressing statistics and once again provide, you know, present and future hope for our children, it seems to me, Jerry, that the other conversation that needs to take place at exactly the same time is restarting the process of rebuilding American families, getting back to teaching basics rather than abstract theories, and of course, focusing our funding on achieving student outcomes rather than padding educational bureaucracy. And by the way, for those parents who earnestly to better their children's education, regardless of their family or economic status, it seems to me that we must provide rather than deny them the resources to do so. That's what I'm for.
So would you be in favor of, for example, school choice, a voucher system? Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, who's doing a lot of things right compared to other states, you know, that's one factor. And that even includes Christian schools.
By all means, yes. I am a huge champion for vouchers. I'm a huge champion of school choice. The idea that an 18th and 19th century, rather antiquated system of kindergarten through 12th grade for all students expressly at the same time, I think is increasingly a very poor model for 21st century America. I think that homeschooling, voucher, school choice, private and parochial options, public options that expand on the voucher and school choice models. I mean, I think these are all very important. It does not need to be one size fits all. You know, government money is not going to solve the problem. And in fact, it has made it a lot worse. Geysers of government money across all these decades, I think, has very often regressed and not progressed with regard to the measurable outcome for our sons and daughters. But far more important than geysers of government money at any level are intact families and parental empowerment from the youngest of ages.
All right, we're out of time. Tim, thank you so much for joining us. FOTF, as in focusonthefamily.org, for more information. Tim, all the best.
Thank you, Jerry.